Thank you for joining us at Living Word NRA's podcast. We are a church who worships God and advances His kingdom. For more messages and content, be sure to follow us and subscribe to our channel for you to stay connected. Right now, we're going to hear a life-changing message from a senior pastor, Pastor Nick C.
Now today, we're going to be looking at the Christmas story from the vantage point of Joseph. If you have your Bibles with you, open them to Matthew 1, 18 to 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we glory in your presence and in your grace. Thank you for allowing us to be here today. We worship you, Lord. There is no other name that is worthy of our worship. We bow down before you. We humble ourselves in your very sense, in your very presence. Thank you. Thank you for being so good to us. We pray that as we read and study this Christmas story today, that you will bring fresh eyes to all of us. We pray that your Holy Spirit will speak to us where we are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please take your seats. I'd like to show you a photo, and I want to know, and I would like to ask how many of you recognize this guy. Can you show the photo? The literary persons would know him. Ernest Hemingway. Wow, Brother Arnold, the alcoholic. Yes, it's Ernest Hemingway, American author, journalist, and Nobel Prize winner in literature in 1954. The legend goes that some friends one time challenged Hemingway to write a story in 6 words. And so what Hemingway did is he took a napkin and he wrote this 6 words. It says, for sale, wedding dress, never worn. Well, it's a complete story because it contains a beginning, a middle, and an end. And according to the legend, Hemingway won the bet. His friends paid up. Now, if you ask about it, how did he pack so much tension and emotion and potential in these 6 words? Well, that's what makes him a great author, right? When you read those 6 words, you begin to ask, what happened? Right? I want to know more. What's the rest of the story? Was it a happy story? A sad story? We don't know, right? It could be the story of a couple that got engaged and then they're pursuing the relationship, and then she realizes that the guy wasn't the man she wanted to be with. So she breaks up with the man and calls it off. Maybe it's a story of a breakup. Right? Or, you know, Hemingway wrote during the World Wars. He was an ambulance driver. He was a correspondent in the field. So maybe the story takes place during those wars. It could be a story of, you know, high school sweethearts. He proposes to her before being shipped off to Europe to fight and defend for his country, and he never comes back. So maybe it's a story of a tragic loss. Or it could be a happy story. You know, a young couple got engaged and they didn't have money to buy a wedding dress. And so here comes the old grandma, and she says, you know what? I want you to wear the dress that I wore on my wedding, which happened 60 years ago. So it's a beautiful story of love, you know, family. You know, it could be any story. But Hemingway nailed it. 6 words, a lot of tension, a lot of drama in that story. And that was the connection. I think within the Christmas story that we just read, there is a 6-word story that is every much a drama and tension that has all the emotion that Hemingway had in the 6-word story. You know what those 6 words are? Matthew 1:18, it says, she was found to be pregnant. Now, in those lines, in those words, you have a Christmas story with all the tension, all the questions in your mind. It's a Christmas story with a very surprising pregnancy. Yes, the drama that comes with those 6 words. It was a pregnancy, of course, that transformed every bit of the lives of Mary and Joseph, and it changed them forever. Have you ever received a surprise in your life? Or how do you respond to surprises? I think many of us would say, you know, it depends. It depends on the surprise, right? Because sometimes we receive good surprises, and sometimes we receive bad surprises. Now, let me just tell you up front the lesson of the story, okay? And it's what we're going to learn from Joseph, and it's this. When we see the hand of God in the surprises of life, then we know we are in good hands. Is that an amen? Right? When we see the hand of God in the surprises of life, then we know we are in good hands. And the story, the Christmas story from the vantage point of Joseph is that he got the surprise of his life. Now, Joseph is a very, very interesting guy because we know very little about him. Now, Mary gets most of the press, right? In fact, we don't have any recorded words of Joseph, not Brother Joseph, huh? But there's no quotable quote from him. And even when you read the gospel accounts, you will see that Joseph just fades away into the background. You don't hear about him anymore. The last time he would be mentioned would be the time when Jesus was 12, and they took the parents took Jesus to Jerusalem, but after that we don't read about him anymore. Despite the fact that we read about later about Mary and the brothers of Jesus, the half brothers of Jesus. Now, Bible scholars surmise that probably Joseph died somewhere between the time when Jesus was 12 until the time of his crucifixion, because during the crucifixion, remember, Jesus told John to take care of his mother, right? Now, we are also told that Joseph was a carpenter, and it's possible that he probably passed his trade to his son, and that's probably what Jesus did before he was 30. But here's the thing. Although very little is said about Joseph, the fact remains that he was entrusted one of the greatest responsibilities in the history of mankind. And that is to be the earthly father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so our story goes, this was the first Christmas Eve, not exactly the night before Christmas, but a few months before. So Christmas Eve, and our character, Joseph, the carpenter, is going to receive several surprises that he does not expect. Well, of course, that's what a surprise is, diba? But here's something that we will find of Joseph. We find here a man of quiet strength who simply just strove to live a godly life. Joseph was no frills kind of a person. You don't hear him do great things. But you know what? We can all relate to him. He was like a very common person, but he was faithful to God despite the surprises that came his way. And we're going to look at his response. We're going to look at three aspects of this story. And I pray that the Lord will speak to us today because this is a very common story, right? And we are familiar with it. But truth to tell, all of us also receive many surprises in life. And if we're not careful, the wrong response will lead us to the wrong direction. And believe it or not, the Christmas story actually tells us or teaches us how to respond to surprises in life through the example of Joseph. So here are the three surprises of Joseph. The first is this. Brother Joseph, starting today. His first surprise was this. He had a pregnant girlfriend. Pregnant girlfriend. Maybe if you put a subtitle to it, it's going to be Joseph, your girlfriend is pregnant and it's not yours. Verse 18. Let's read verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. So note the words betrothed. And the phrase, it says, before they came together, meaning they had no sexual relations. So here, Matthew sets up for us the scenario. The Jewish marriage had two stages. The first stage was called the betrothal, or maybe equivalent to our engagement today. The parents, actually, the formal agreement was set by the father seeking a bride for his son. And so there's this two parents, two sets of parents who would get together and they would negotiate the marriage. So it was pretty much a negotiated marriage, not like the way we have it today. Then an engagement or a formal engagement or a betrothal takes place. And then a year later, the second stage is the final marriage. The marriage ceremony will take place. So the first stage is the betrothal or the engagement. And the second stage, of course, is the marriage itself. Now, betrothal or engagement, if we use the word that for today, was really actually a legal and binding relationship. There was no sexual union because the couple does not live together yet, but legally, if one of them dies or, if something happens or somebody wants to break up, they have to have a divorce. Here's what one commentary says. It says, though the Jews did distinguish engagement from marriage, the dissolution of an engagement was considered the equivalent of a divorce. So if there's a breakup, they have to have a formal divorce. And then an engaged woman whose husband-to-be had died was regarded as a widow. So this is the kind of, that was their culture. And by the way, scholars tell us that Mary was somewhere between 13 to 14 or 15 years old during this time. And Joseph was a little older, maybe 17 or 18. How many of you here are 15, 16, 14, 15, 16, or 17 or 18? So that is the age range of this couple. So it's not the kind of picture that we have, that we know, that we see from the paintings, right? So here you have a couple, Joseph and Mary, bound together legally, morally, contractually by betrothal. They're not yet married, but here's the surprise. Verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When the mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Now we get the sense there that, it was discovered that she was pregnant. Now we just wonder, how did Joseph find out that his fiance was pregnant? Now there's not a lot of detail in the text. We can use our imagination. We know that Mary went to visit Elizabeth, right? Maybe she sent him a letter. We don't know, Bitaw. But let's just go with it, okay? Maybe she sent a letter. Picture the scene. Joseph in the house. He's outside maybe. And then a mail arrives. And he opens the mail. It's a letter from Mary. And the letter goes, "Dear Joseph, I hope you are well. I'm enjoying my time with my cousin Elizabeth. She's doing just fine. Joseph, I can't wait to spend the rest of my life with you. But there's something that I should tell you. I've discovered that I'm pregnant. But don't worry. It's a miracle baby from God. An angel told me. Can't wait to see you. Hugs and kisses, Mary." You know, I don't think Joseph did. I don't think that happened, okay? Maybe, you know, we don't really know. Maybe Joseph began to observe an obvious... Is the mic doing okay? Okay. Is this okay? Can I use this? Test, mic test. Okay. Now, maybe Joseph began to observe an obvious baby bump with Mary. You know, he realized that it was not because of the carbohydrates. Or maybe a friend told him. Or it was chismes. Or maybe Mary told him. No, we don't know. Okay, we don't know. But one thing we are sure of, and I'm sure one thing was sure of Joseph. He knew that this was not his baby. Nah. So what would you describe a man at a time like this? Anger? Confusion? Disappointment? Maybe frustration or even rage or shame, right? I think Joseph cried harder that day than he had ever cried before. What do you do with a surprise like that? Verse 19, this is what he did. When her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. So verse 19 tells us that Joseph was a just man. Other translation says he was a righteous man. The Greek word is the word dikaios, which simply means righteous, observing divine and human laws, one who is such as he ought to be. In other words, Joseph just wanted to do what was right in the eyes of God. For Joseph, doing the right thing meant doing what was in accordance to the law. Now, we know that this was what his life was. We actually had several ways that he did it. For example, when they had the baby Jesus was born, they brought him to the temple and presented him there. They offered a sacrifice. And we find also in the story that they went yearly to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. So these were requirements of the law. And in handling the situation, Joseph wanted to do the right thing. It's hard, right? It's hard to imagine the depth of despair or horror that he found that Joseph was in when he found out that his wife-to-be was pregnant, right? In verse 20, it says, when he had considered this, that means he gave careful thought. He really, really pondered on it. So what did he do? Well, according to John MacArthur, he had two options in his day. The first option is that he would charge her openly in public court, charge her for adultery, and she would be shamed, of course. Mary would go to trial, she would be convicted in front of everyone, and her reputation would be ruined. Now, the second option was the two parties would get together and write a private bill of divorce. There would be no judicial procedure, no public knowledge. No one needed to know. You know, it just goes away. And the second option was what Joseph was really thinking about. When you see, it says he resolved to divorce her quietly. You know, in our day and age, we see a lot of scandals like these are so common to us today, right? And when we hear of that, when we read of it, we say, really? Amode, di ba? It's so common today. And you've heard people say, or you yourself might have said this, you'd say, I had to do it because it was the right thing to do. Di ba? And most of the time, the right thing to do was not or is not the easy thing. Joseph's life had just fallen apart here. Think about that. His plans are in tatters. It's clear at this point in time that Joseph did not believe in Mary's explanation because he was contemplating a divorce. Was he in pain? Of course he was, right? Did he feel betrayed? I'm sure he felt betrayed, right? He had mixed emotions. I don't know what he felt, but I'm sure it was not anything good. But you know what? Joseph's response shows to us the character of this man because he decided to be merciful to Mary. Notice that he made this choice way before the angel gave him an explanation. Now, how many of us would make that kind of a choice? You know, somebody wrongs you, you're hurt badly, you're angry, you're disappointed. Deep inside you, you just want justice, right? And yes, it's easy to choose to retaliate or be vengeful or be bitter or just, you know, throw and write that post on Facebook. And relationship troubles usually bring the worst in us. I have seen some of the kindest and sweetest people turn bitter and vindictive. But here in the case of Joseph, he did the right thing. He chose to do the right thing despite the fact that he was deeply hurt. And there are times that we do our best in life and then something happens to us. We see our hopes and dreams crashing down and it breaks our hearts because it's not what we want. And just like Joseph, we can be blind sometimes to the fact that God is working behind the scenes. To say that God is in control during those times is like a cliche, right? Empty. It's meaningless. I mean, what do you do when you're going through those pain? And instead, you might even be asking, God, why? Why would you let this happen? But we know that God works behind the scenes. God works in ways that we do not comprehend. We know from scriptures that His plans are always the best. And we might not like it when our dreams are shattered or when God breaks us. But when everything has been said and done, we will see that God's plan was and is always the best plan of all, right? And for Joseph, he discovers, and I believe we discover, that sometimes the hardest thing and the right thing are both the same thing, right? It's not always easy doing the right thing. So here's a question. How do you respond when you're wronged? Do you do the right thing? Or do you go the easy way? Or do you let your emotions just go amok? Joseph received the surprise of his life, a pregnant girlfriend, but he resolved to do what was right. So that's his first surprise. Second surprise is this. You're going to be a dad. And perhaps a subtitle for this section would be, Joseph, that child is not your son, but marry her anyway. It's all part of the plan. For the first surprise, Joseph still had a way out. He could have had a divorce, right? But this second one would be more demanding. The book of Proverbs says, many are the plans of men, right? But it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. And that certainly is true in the case of Joseph. He has resolved to divorce Mary quietly, but God had other plans in mind. Now what happens? Let's read verse 20. God intervenes by sending an angel to Joseph in a dream. Look at what it says in verse 20. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Now, this is actually the first of four times when God speaks to Joseph in a dream. And if you check the Gospels, every time that happens, there was a major upheaval in the life of Joseph. It's like, you know, God appears to Joseph in the dream and Joseph says, oh no, Lord, not again. And now I have a confession to make. You know, it used to bother me when somebody falls asleep during my sermon. You know, it does. Yeah, especially when the person's mouth is wide open. Lamig kayong tulog, right? You can see him or her really comfortable and kulang na lang unlan, right? Well, let me tell you that this verse really rebuked me. It teaches me and tells me, hey, don't worry about people who go to sleep during your sermon. Because maybe God is trying to send a message to them in a way that I can't send to them. Maybe God, so don't go to sleep. Maybe God is telling you, give to the renovation fund. Okay, that's a joke, okay? But don't fall asleep. Maybe the Lord will tell you, give Pastor Nick your car. Anyway, it's just a joke. Okay? Now let's go back to our verse. Here's what the Lord told Joseph through the angel. Joseph, son of David, verse 20, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Do not fear. Obviously, Joseph was afraid. By Jewish law, Mary being legally betrothed to him was already his wife, was considered his wife, but the angel was telling him, don't be afraid to continue with the relationship. This was another test for Joseph, diba? It's one thing to find out that your girlfriend is pregnant. It's another thing to be made, you know, the savior, the Salvador del mundo. You know what that means, right? When a guy finds out that his girlfriend is pregnant and with another man, and yet the guy still marries her. So when the angel tells Joseph, do not fear, it implies that Joseph was really bothered by the situation. He was having a lot of, not just second thoughts, but third and fourth, and a lot of misgivings about the situation. There's just too many things that he had no control of. And this was not what he signed up for. And just like Joseph, sometimes, you know, we have fears, especially when God calls us to do something for him. Diba? Maybe if you're a parent, your son or your daughter comes to you and tells you, you know what, I think I'm called to full-time ministry. How do you respond? You respond in fear, right? What will my son eat? Huh? Or what will my daughter will have to give up her career? Or maybe God wants you to join a small group. And you say, nah, I'm afraid people will take advantage of me. Or I'm just not social enough. I'm not comfortable with that kind of thing. Oh, maybe we look at our inadequacies. God tells us to serve him. And say, no, I don't have the talent. And many times, God calls us to go out of our comfort zones. Think of Joseph. This was way beyond his comfort zone. It really meant that his entire life would now go on a different direction. But here's something we need to think about. Is that God never calls us into a work that he himself will not equip or provide for. Amen? God never calls us to do something that he himself will not equip or provide for. And I'm not just talking about full-time ministry. Maybe you're a student. And you know, lisura gani online. Oy. Do you think God will not provide for you? Or maybe God wants you to share the gospel. Do you think God will not give you the words or the opportunity, or maybe God wants you to venture into a new business. Do you think God will not provide for you? Now, but let me just make sure of this, huh? Be sure you heard from God. And if you're sure that God told you, remember this, God never calls us into something that He Himself will not equip or provide. And that's what happened to Joseph. And so the question for us is this: what fears are keeping you from completely trusting God? What fears are keeping you from giving and surrendering everything to the Lord? God had a plan, and this plan had Joseph in it. It was a plan that was in place way before Joseph was born. Notice in verse 20, Joseph was called the son of David, because God, hundreds of years before, had promised a Messiah to go through the descendant, a descendant of David. And at last, here's what's happening. The angel was now announcing to Joseph that the time has come, and he was it. He was the descendant, and it's going to be his son. Now, here's the thing. Did Joseph understand it completely? Probably not. But I think he knew that this was a huge responsibility. Was he prepared to change his plans? Ay, Lord, napakoy career. Ay, Lord, minyo sa ako, Lord. Ganaan sa akong anak. Ay, Lord, you know, napakoy negosyo. You know, sometimes we do that. We're not willing to change our plans even though God wants us to do something. I believe there's an application for this. Sometimes when God calls us, it would mean a change of plan or a huge responsibility or a lot of sacrifice. All of us have plans, right? We have ambitions and dreams in life. We have desires. But the question here is, are we willing to give it to God? Because always, always God's plans are always bigger than our dreams. So are you afraid? Is God calling you to a change of direction? If you've heard from God, remember this. His plans are always better than your dreams. Amen? So we have two surprises. Joseph, your girlfriend is pregnant. And Joseph, you're going to be a dad. And the child is not yours. Now here's the third surprise. The third surprise was this. The Son of God is moving in. Two great surprises, but here's one more. And the subtitle could be this. Joseph, it's not just a pregnant girlfriend or you becoming a dad. God Himself is moving in with you. Let's read the rest of the verses. It says, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now again, you got a feel for Joseph here. Not only does this guy not even conceive the child, he doesn't get to name the child. I mean, poor Joseph, right? Joseph, I got news for you. You're about to become a dad, but it's not yours. And you won't even get to name your child. I read a story, a true story of a mother, and she had twins, a boy and a girl. Now, she was from a country where they had a culture that if a mother has a baby, she cannot leave the hospital until a relative names the baby. Now, the mother was not allowed to name the baby. A relative has to do that. But here's the problem. Her husband was out of the country. She was out on a business trip, and he won't be back for maybe 2 or 3 days. Now, she didn't want to stay any longer in the hospital. So she asked her husband's brother, who was the only relative there, to name the twins. And so he did. So when the husband got back home from his trip, he was surprised to see his wife in the house. Oh, you're home. And so the first thing that came to his mind was this. So who named the babies? But she said, well, your brother named them. And the husband got worried because the brother was, you know, a practical joker. He was a practical joker of the family. So he reluctantly asked his wife, what did he name our children? And his wife said, he named our daughter Denise. Okay, Denise, that's a nice name. What did he name our son? He named him the nephew. That's not a true story, okay? But listen, Joseph here was commanded to personally name his child Jesus, right? It means that he would acknowledge this child as his own, and so he becomes the legal father. And as a result, Joseph's ancestry as a descendant of David will be transferred to his son. And it also fulfills a prophecy. Verse 22. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. This is one of the foundational teachings of the Christian faith. Without it, the rest of our doctrines will make no sense at all. We cannot be saved from our sins by anybody who is imperfect. He's not God himself. And so the virgin birth is proof that Jesus is God with us. That's why we need to insist on the virgin birth. But God with us also means that God is with us. And that's the beauty of this, right? It has to do with access. It has to do with a relationship with God. It has to do with help in time of need. It has to do with his presence in our life. God with us. Emmanuel. In fact, that's the hope of Christmas. That is God's promise to us. I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, this was not just words. God, when he sent his son, said and did exactly that. He became one of us. And you know what? Joseph and Mary had that primary privilege of experiencing the very presence of God through their child. Now, I wonder how long it actually took for them to understand what was going on. You see, if you check the Gospels, you know, Mary didn't quite completely understand it. And both of them, remember when Jesus was 12, right? And they went and he got lost. What was the story all about? There were really, really worried parents, diba? But for Jesus, it was obvious. He said, didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? This tells us that Mary and Joseph didn't quite get it completely yet. And though they saw the miracle happen, and though they've seen the work of God in their lives, they were still puzzled. There were things that they did not get right away. Why a virgin birth? Why, with all the scandal and the shame for him? Why didn't God just, you know, give the child in a normal way? Knowingly or unknowingly, they had this wonderful privilege and responsibility to be the earthly parents of Jesus. And Joseph was right there. I'm sure even as Jesus was growing up, there was a lot of confusion. There were a lot of questions. And here at this particular point in time, this young teenager was right in the middle of this confusing situation. He was about to get married to a girl who was pregnant, and he wasn't the father. And now the angel tells him that he will have to take the responsibility to adopt the child, and he will have to be the legal dad. And finally, it was also revealed to him that this baby was no ordinary child. It was God himself. And all of these, I'm sure, seemed too much for Joseph. Remember, God was speaking to him in a dream. And yet, what does Joseph do? Here's the implications, okay? Number one, when Joseph married Mary, he had protected her reputation. She was pregnant. He wasn't the father, but he married her anyway. By keeping her a virgin until Jesus was born, he protected the miracle of Jesus' conception against slander by unbelievers. And by naming the baby, he exercised his prerogative and thus officially took him into his family as his own legal son. Now, Joseph deserves a lot of credit here. He was a man who was struggling. He had doubts. He had to be persuaded to believe what God had said. But ultimately, he had to act in obedience. And he's a great model of what a godly man looks like. He was tough when he could have been weak. He was tender when he could have been harsh. He was thoughtful when he could have been hasty. And he was trusting when he could have doubted. This was the man to whom God entrusted his son, a man who was obedient, a man who was prepared to do whatever it took to get God's will done. Now, what if Joseph, when he woke up in the dream, said, you know, I'm not doing this? What if he said, I'm not believing this? What if he said, no, I'm not buying this? Look at verse 24. When Joseph woke up from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus. In other words, Joseph simply obeyed. And if he didn't, he would have missed not just the greatest life-changing birth in the history of the world, he would have missed the presence of the Son of God himself, right? But here's Joseph. He didn't get it completely yet, and yet he obeyed. I love this quote from Sinclair Ferguson. He says, be obedient even when you do not know where obedience may lead you. That's what Joseph did. His obedience was not simply a way of pleasing God. It was also really fulfilling the destiny of his life. Here's a question. What area in your life is God calling you to obey him today so that he can lead you to the place where he wants you to be? Again, what area in your life is God calling you to obey him today? So here is Joseph, right? A pregnant girlfriend marred his life. A call to be a dad marked his life. But ultimately, his obedience measured his life. I like that. So surprise, surprise, surprise. Some of them pleasant, and we like that. Other times, they are unpleasant, and Joseph had his fair share here. Now, as we go through life, one thing is guaranteed. Things will not always go the way we plan them to go, right? That 15-year-old girl named Mary never planned to be pregnant before she got married. And that 18-year-old boy named Joseph never planned to adopt a child that was not his own. But one thing we see in this story, the surprise of their life changed everything. But when we see the hand of God in the surprises of our lives, then we know we are in good hands. Just like Joseph the carpenter, you and I have the privilege of access to our Father today. God in his love might send surprises in our lives from time to time, but we can be assured that in his wisdom and in his presence, that everything is in his control, right? And that, my friends, is the hope of Christmas. God with us, Emmanuel.